Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews, like a book club for people who hate reading. This week we're doing Grab Bags. So Ryan picked the movie Drunken Master, made in 1978. We bring you movie news. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston.
Hello!
So who has the description of this movie?
I thought you were going to do it, but I can do it.
I forgot to bring it up on my iPad.
Okay.
I'm driving a car right now, so I hope you guys have it.
Oh,
yes,
come on.
I do.
I've seen people on LA, you know, on the one or whatnot, reading shit. Of course, they're not going anywhere.
So, Drunken Master,
yeah,
19...
Yeah, I see them too, and they're usually my clients.
No, that's funny.
So, Drunken Master, 1978. An undisciplined boy must learn drunken fist kung fu in order to stop an assassin. Not quite what that film is about, but we're going to roll with
Close
it.
Close enough. The first thing I want to say is... this era of Jackie Chan's movies are probably my favorite, because you've got, like, you know, the same era, you've got Fantasy, Mission Force, Master of the Cracked Knuckles, you've got his first movie, Snake and Eagle Shadow.
Mm-hmm.
I love it because you got the same exact people in every movie playing close to the same role.
Right.
Yes. So, and one of the best things to mention also is that this was Wu Ping-Yun's first movie.
Second one,
but this was one of the first ones that he did. He released this one in Snake and Eagle Shadow the same year, and these are his directorial debuts, and both of them are with Jackie Chan.
My favorite thing about this movie, really, is you can kind of see the evolution of his comedy, especially if you've watched some of his later works, because his fighting, the choreography in this movie is hilarious, the fighting stuff.
Yes, it is.
I gotta agree with you on the comedy side of it and the evolution of his comedy, and it's the one thing that like this sort of standard American movie going audience, you know, the people who just kind of go to the theaters and they caught, you know, like Rush Hour back in the day, you know, they think of it as goofy, but it's a really standard kind of Chinese humor. You know, that he has, you know, that kind of goofiness. I mean, watch any kung fu movie from the same era, and you're going to get the same type of setup and punchline. You know?
Yeah.
I think his comedy's gotten a tad bit more over the top since he's gotten older. I wouldn't say the humor in this is subtle. I do think it's toned down a little bit more compared to, City Hunter.
Yeah. Well, yeah. City Hunter was one of his, stranger ones. It was kind of like Fantasy Mission Force style, kind of. But
yeah.
That one was, the City Hunter was more for the kind of gaming crowd of the day with the mix of
93.
Anime, because it's based off of an anime character, City Hunter, and so it's based on the detective from there. But it also has a lot of gaming references, like they do a whole scene dedicated to Street Fighter.
Oh, yes, yes.
That is just awesome.
And that one is actually, City Hunter was released a year before The Legend of Drunken Master, which
is
difference. I don't know if it actually is, but I kind of think it is a reboot. I've heard people call it as a sequel. I'll be honest, I don't like it. This is my favorite. This is literally, besides Snake and Eagle Shadow, is one of my all-time favorite Jackie Chan movies, just mainly because this era.
This is my all-time favorite Jackie Chan movie for a number of different reasons, but mostly it's the best of both worlds when it comes to Jackie Chan. He was in the best shape of his life,
for sure.
I mean, he was just in his... I mean, he was probably... He's probably still in his 20s when he did this movie.
I think he was younger than that.
The comedy landed so well. The choreographing of the fight scenes were freaking magnificent.
The training scenes, to me, are the best.
The training scenes were awesome. And then all the comedy came from such a natural place with the style that he was fighting and the subject matter that they were dealing with. You know, so it's actually a really solid movie.
Oh, no, totally.
Like, you break it down like that.
And yeah, actually, Ryan is right. He was 24 when he did this film.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, Ryan is completely right. There's that scene where he gorges himself in the restaurant.
Yes.
And then he goes to unloosen his belt, and he doesn't have a gut at all to extend. I mean, he tries to, it's like he still had the six-pack style going on. It's like, nice try, but you failed.
And I hate to keep hammering on the fight scenes, the choreography, but everything about this movie was hilarious. Some of it was subtle, some of it wasn't. I love the training his wrists when they're doing the thing.
Master, it hurts.
And how he tries to stop it, and the guy jams it harder.
Yeah, there's a early on, there's a scene where he's kind of flirting with that girl at the marketplace.
Oh, yeah.
And the mother defends it and
kicks his ass.
She does kick his ass, but that is one of the most well put together fight sequences in the entire movie. And you'll even see her do the leg trick where she's got her leg practically up, drops it down, does a circle, and brings it back up and slowly puts it back down. That is badassery at its finest, yeah. And the skill it takes to do that is amazing.
And
yeah, well, I mean, as far as just fight choreography, Jackie Chan took it to a whole other level, not just with his fights, but with everybody else's fights also. I mean, he, throughout the years, I mean, and starting with movies like Drunken Master, he changed the stunt game for forever. You know, he notoriously worked with his own guy for a long, long, long time on most of his movies. Has his own stunt coordinating company where he basically farms out his like master stunt team.
And yeah,
he developed so many different little techniques for the exploding chairs and he developed shoes where you're actually able to connect with somebody's head without hurting them, but actually not looking like they just threw a phantom kick, you know?
Yeah. I wanted to bring up one thing. John was kind of touching on the cast. You will see the same cast in multitude of the early Jackie Chan films. Like, I think this is the exact same cast that he had in Snake and Eagle. And then,
because I've got like a handful, 5 or 6 of his original early movies, and they all literally have the same cast.
Yeah,
almost 100%.
And when you come across those guys, you know that you're in for a great Jackie Chan film. But he also brought in this film one of the ultimate Oriental bad guys, which was the guy that they named Gorilla, Shun Hao Li. He's that big guy with a big pec, upper body,
yeah,
Asian guy. You see him in a lot of films, and he still recently does films. 10 years ago, I saw him in a new film. So, but he's the ultimate bad guy in all of them.
And I know I was talking to James before the show started about, because they used to have in Hollywood, I think they were called studio actors or studio players. Yeah. Like, they were contract actors. Yeah. And Clint Eastwood was one of them, actually, if I remember correctly. Sure. And so you see...
Yeah. I mean, you know, you have like a deal with a certain studio for like 10 pictures.
Yeah.
You know, and so you just kind of do whatever really comes your way with it.
And so it looked to me that this is what this is. I mean, I don't know if it actually existed in Hong Kong at the time. I actually didn't have time to look.
I tried to look it up, and I didn't. And I saw that there was some style of that, but there was no definite answer as to whether these guys are.
Because one of my favorite actors of all time when it comes to these is I love the old guy, his master.
Yeah.
Because he beats the crap out of Jackie Chan in every single movie. And Jackie Chan does the same thing about trying to cheat. Like the scene he's doing curls but inverted, you know, and he was supposed to scoop water from one thing to from top to the bottom. He cheats,
right,
and he keeps doing it in every movie. Like Snake and Eagle, Shadow, he tried to do it, and I just love this movie. This is really entertaining.
I mean, the obligatory training sequence with Kung Fu movies, I mean, I think is a third of the reason that we like Kung Fu movies. But, I mean, the master in this was so damn good.
Yeah, there's a scene in
this one. You know, we've all seen. You know, us three at least, and I'm sure a lot of anybody that finds themselves a movie fan. I mean, you've come across some kung fu in the day, but it's you watch it and it's usually the same kind of style of fighting, or you know, with little variances and sort of different styles, but same kind of kicks, same sort of acrobatics. Everything that he does in here, it looks goofy, but I mean, just from a martial arts standpoint, nothing that he does was easy by any stretch. I mean, it was like all of the goofy stuff was still a testament to how much of an athlete that dude is.
Yeah.
Yeah, after, like, watching this movie and even some of the training scenes and the fight scenes, I'm thinking, how did he move after doing that even two or three times? I'd have to go home and sleep for a week.
So, there was a scene that I was trying to remember if it was in this one or in a different one, but I know it's not in this one now. There's a scene where him and the guy... there it is. C.T. Nguyen, the guy who played the Drunken Master. I'm not sure if it's Naked Needle Shadow or Master of the Cracked Fingers, where he plays with Jackie Chan with a pipe that he's smoking opium out of. But there's a scene where they're in a restaurant. They do some dice game. Turns around and they start doing that. But what I'm coming back to is the fact that those two knew each other so well that they could just kind of play with each other. And that's what you see in a few of these scenes where they're kind of doing back and forth with the bottle, and when he's doing the push-ups and stuff, and they can just, or he can start kind of whipping him, and they get in a mode of just where it's like they're just, cinematography is just amazing between the two of them.
Oh, no, totally. And I would say we kind of touched on how these are very formulaic a little bit, and they really are. I mean, it's kind of the essence, it's like an 80s action movie. You always have, like, towards the end, the bad guy wins, then there's this sudden shift. And in the 80s, it was always kind of like a slow motion kick where he did that.
Yeah.
But I for the first time in a long time, I don't mind formulaic when it comes to this type of movie. Fast and Furious, on the other hand, they could have stopped at one and I would have been happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, formulas for this kind of thing work, you know what I mean? Because it's sort of the formula that we're after.
Exactly.
You know, that's what Tarantino did with Kill Bill. He basically gave us his version of that formula, you know? But that's what we want.
Yeah,
you know,
but...
Same thing with your average buddy cop movie, you know what I mean? If I like the Lethal Weapon type, you know?
True. Lethal Weapon, Die Hard, Rambo. They're all kind of
riffs on the similar theme. But the comedy factor, to me... of the kind of slapstick humor that you find in these types of film, Drunken Master and Master of the Cracked Fingers, those type of things aren't so much anymore. And he tried to bring it back in the late 90s into the early 2000s with what you're saying with the Rush Hours and things like
High
that.
Noon.
But you don't have somebody that has the great comedy that Jackie Chan had at this time. I mean, Jet Li, you look at all of his films, those are more serious than anything else.
I would say the difference, I think, is the comedy is different. Where I think Rush Hour is more like try to be comedy. This movie is more of a kung fu movie that has comedy in it.
Yeah.
And I think that's why, is because the comedy is a part of it. It's not what it is.
Yeah, but I mean, look at some of the ones that Jet Li tried to do that were kind of comedy-ish. Where was War,
Lethal Weapon 4,
Cradle to the Grave, Kiss of the Dragon, the
Lethal
One.
Weapon 4.
Shut up. those really, like, he tried to have the comedy between him and Jason Statham.
Oh, yeah.
It was
kind of
like banter back and forth, kind of rip on each other.
It didn't
but
work.
It wasn't to the standard of where you have Jackie Chan and his master totally goofing around, or when they're standing there trying to hold the stance, and the guy with the mole, I always forget his name, but he's walking by with stroking the mole, and they're kind of goofing with him a little bit.
In the beginning of the
movie. That's not in any of those films, but you do find them all the time in these old Jackie Chans.
No, totally. And so,
and that's what I miss.
I completely agree. I miss, it's slapstick humor, but it's also not, this is really not exactly what I want to say, but it's not as in your face as much as I think modern comedy is loud and proud and in your face. And I think this was comedy that fit the story, not story to fit a comedy, if that makes sense.
It was like I was saying before. I mean, the comedy came from such a natural place, you know, with just, okay, it's drunken boxing.
Yeah.
You know, so there's going to be some comedy that ensues just in the practice of something called drunken boxing.
My favorite thing is, in the process of looking up in IMDb and other places, there's a warning that says you don't want to do drunken boxing drunk, you'll get hurt. That made me laugh.
Well, the one thing that I thought was interesting that they didn't bring in this film, but they did mention it in Legend of Drunken Master, is that he did the comparison of when you have a boat on the sea, you can't have too much water in it or it doesn't float.
Oh, I have
and
to
it's
find kind
of bringing like the thing of there's a certain amount that you drink that keeps you loose, but you're not drunk.
I did hear, and I don't. I wish I remember. I ran across it. Yang Wun Ping, is that his name, or
Wu Yan Ping, or Wu Ping Yan?
He what he said. I guess he's going to be making a prequel that'll explain why his master drinks. Hmm. Which, if it's good, it'll be awesome. If it sucks, it'll be sadder than hell. So Ryan, what do you give this movie?
Oh man, it's a man, it's a 4.5 out of 5. I mean, just a near perfect kung fu movie. I mean, points for originality in a genre where they just kind of remake the same movie over and over again. he took some interesting subject matter, and I mean, Jackie Chan. I mean, shit, dude, there's a reason that dude is a world famous, you know, star, and not just in Hong Kong pictures, you know.
At this point, he's a walking crash test dummy, though.
Mm. He's a what?
A walking crash test dummy. That guy's been hurt so many times.
Seriously, I mean, it was, like, legendary when we were kids. You know what I mean? You hear stories about this guy breaking every bone in his body, and you're like, well, this is just the toughest guy that ever lived, ever.
Yeah.
So, what about you, James?
I agree with Ryan that this is the perfect kung fu movie, but you know, I can't do a 4.5. This one's a 5 out of 5 for me. If I tell anybody what movie they should start with to get into the kung fu genre, it is this one. There's another one that for me, it's way up there. It was one of his later ones in 1984 that came out, Wheels on Meals.
Oh, yes, yes.
Dude, that one is another fantastic one with amazing choreography, fight sequences, and everything. But I look at Drunken Master as being the ultimate of kung fu films.
For me, my favorite all-time Jackie Chan movie is Snake and Eagle Shadow, but it's not as funny, honestly, as this one is.
No.
And this, I agree with James. It's a 5 out of 5. This is the perfect introduction to the humor, the style. And I love this era specifically, especially when it takes place back in the time period it does.
Yeah.
So, yeah, strong 5 out of 5. I mean, this is literally one of my all-time favorite Jackie Chan movies. One of the ones that I've always wanted on Blu-ray, actually. Because I don't think it would be funny.
I think he's hinting at Jackie Chan, but I mean, the quality's not going to transfer.
That's why I think it'd be funny.
Yeah.
So next we're going to switch to episode 2 of Childhood's End. And in this episode, you get to see kind of the bad guy a little bit more. You get to hear him talk, get to see his personality. What do you think?
I think this one, transferring from the first one into this one, and Ryan has not done his homework. Anyways, that I think the transition was really well done. This one is a little bit slower pace than the first one. It does, however, get you into the behind the scenes of what the critical war rooms are doing and how they're trying to figure out how they defend themselves against these guys when they're realizing there is no defense against these guys.
I thought it was a little forced. I thought it was really weird because to me the weird part was when he backpedaled on kicking the guy out, went back to this farm, kind of went, you know, his tail between his legs and said, "I'm sorry," even though there was obviously a reason for it.
Yeah.
But I thought that was a little weird coming from a position of goodbye, you know, I am the almighty, and then...
Yeah.
That to me was a little weird, and I think it actually plays further in the story, I'm hoping, because I think it kind of does towards the end of this episode.
Yeah, but I mean, this one for me was just kind of like they're trying to keep the boat afloat until the next episode.
Yeah, I could see
try to cover up some of the Sci-fi stuff.
And he totally does look like Tim Curry from the movie Legend.
Actually, the bad guy in... Well, not necessarily the bad guy in this film, but the alien that is Tywin Lannister from Game of Thrones. Which I was hoping Ryan would see it. Yeah.
See, I still say he's the bad guy. I really have no idea. But hey, I'm going for the devil-looking characters, the bad guys, huh?
But this one also gets you hints as to the strange things that are happening with the kids.
This honestly kind of reminds me of a riff on Dante's Divine Comedy, Village of the Damned / like Children of the Corn. It's just a really weird mixture of stuff. And I thought it was weird when you saw the page of the Divine Comedy. That to me was like, whoa, I didn't expect that. Also, the horror movie elements with that chick's cross that was choking her.
Oh, yeah.
And what happened to her at the end, spoiler. So I actually thought that was really well done. I like how they're starting to ramp up the story enough to... It's just not all this feel-good stuff. They're starting to add hints of horror elements and kind of really...
It's not as utopian as it seems.
Exactly. They're really foreshadowing the next episode.
Yeah, I thought they did a decent job bringing the introduction to the next episode. But for me, this was kind of like one of those where it's like... Most of the episode, to me, just kind of seemed like they were trying to keep the story afloat.
I totally agree.
So, and each one of them is what?
An hour?
80 minutes?
At 80 minutes? I thought they were roughly an hour. Minutes. Something like that.
I think the first one might have been.
It is a sci-fi movie, so sci-fi movies, for some reason, to me, kind of do that. They need filler, and you kind of go, they could have cut out the last 20 minutes of this movie.
Yeah.
Or cut out, 5 minutes on each commercial break before and after. But I was actually impressed. I mean, I had to do a little bit of speed watching just because I kind of ran out of time.
Yeah.
But the makeup is actually really well done.
Yeah, they did a great job on some of the effects and the makeup. But I think it's come back to, because when we think of a sci-fi film, we're thinking of, low budget, horrible story. They can't pay the writers. But, it looks to me like they have finally built up enough audience and reputation to be able to pull out some of these bigger production things that they want to do.
This still had kind of a low budget feel, but it seemed like on the higher end of a low budget movie.
But you see what I'm saying? It's like sci-fi has finally come to the point where they're like, oh, we have money to put into these things.
Yes, yes.
Before, when it was like, okay, you have to go over to the guys from the 80s and have them make you a rubber head that goes over you.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Old guys from the B flicks that came out all over the 80s.
Borrowing from Trauma.
Yeah.
I was going to say that, too, about sci-fi. I mean, it really does seem like puppets and stuff. So it's like, give me Jim Henson's cousin's nephew's brother-in-law.
Roommate's cousin.
And what is he to you? Absolutely nothing.
But, I mean, that's what it feels
it's
like.
It's ludicrous.
Like, oh, man, you guys just pulled somebody off the street and got a couple of makeup artists from the school, right?
Yeah.
They got him off the TV show Face Off.
Right. They became basically the place to get your B-movies these days.
Yeah. Actually, there have been studios that in Southern California that have gone to high schools and said, hey, you want to try something?
Make us this. It's kind of like when somebody says, hold my beer.
Yeah.
Least in my opinion. So let you ladies and gentlemen know, we do have a Facebook page. Love us, hate us. If you're creative with your hate mail, we'll read you and ridicule on air, and we promise we will. Also, if you love us, we'll read you on air. And also, you can donate to Old Guide Tech TV to leave the lights on for you. And
also, if you're the 50th person to hate our review of DOS Boot, you get a prize.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, by the way, what was your comment, James, on that one?
Of DOS Boot, are we doing that now?
I don't know. Why not?
I was going to say, I do have some good news for everybody. Labyrinth, the remake, was just a farce. It is not happening. Don't have to worry about little children sitting on some creepy guy's lap.
Okay, wait. I want to interject in this a little bit. For one, I've seen that movie so much as a kid. It legitimately gives me nightmares. I hate the movie, but David Bowie does a really good job in that movie as a closet pedophile. But... I actually, there are bits and pieces of that movie. It's a Jim Henson classic, especially with the puppets and the characters. And David Bowie, God rest his soul, I love his character, even though I absolutely loathe this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, so, okay. Now, I talked to both these guys and... Oh.
Warning. Okay, go.
Okay, so I am going to take 5 minutes and I'm going to address... I already have it right here. I'm going to address some issues that people seem to be having with DOS Boot. Now, my big issue here is the fact that you guys are coming along and trying to tell us that we're supposed to like this film? Is that what you guys are trying to do? And then some jackass shows up and says that it has, what, 7 Oscar nominations? Now, the thing about an opinion, people, is that it should be your own opinion, not what everybody else is telling you. And that's the point of our show, is we don't have to like a film. That's okay. John likes a lot of films that I don't.
Oh, yes. Trust me. Since I've known him the last 30 years, I've heard nonstop. You like what? Oh, my God.
And he can sit there and try to defend it as much as he wants, but it's not going to change my opinion of something that sucks.
Like the movie Super.
Now, Das Boot was a crappy film. Now, you guys out there maybe be like, oh, yeah, it was about this. Okay, now you're trying to tell me what the film was about. The film should not have to be explained to me for me to like it. That's really my big point. Now, we look at things at Das Boot, like we talked about the sets, we talked about the acting, we talked about the fact that, yeah, this is showing what happens when a bunch of guys are on a boat and being, you know, isolated for this long in this little thing in wartime. It was World War II. They were Nazis. Get over it. They were from Germany. They were still Nazis. They should die. So, now, back to what my big issue about the Oscars is. The Oscars have not really been much except for, you know, what do we want to call it? What were we calling it earlier, Ryan? Pretty much a popularity contest.
It's a bunch of glad-heading, circle jerk, you know, slap on the back. And I think all of us here at Real Flix Reviews, even, you know, the old guy and Jeff, God rest his soul, would all agree that all the movies we think should win, and this is all of us and everybody we've actually ever talked to, which, believe it or not, is a lot more than you would think for being a bunch of guys talking about award shows, all agree is never the good movies win.
There have been some...
I mean, it's like I was telling James earlier, we were kind of chatting about this. It's a bunch of 80-year-olds, too. You know what I mean? And pardon me if my opinion doesn't always match up with, a majority of 80-year-olds. There's going to be something, like I've told both these guys before, if I know you long enough, I will shit on something that you love.
Yeah.
You know, it's just going to happen.
Yeah, but did you have to do it? But did you have to do it on the coffee table?
I'm sorry, man. I didn't really like that coffee table. But,
so,
my point notwithstanding, I mean, it is an opinion show. Like,
I'm gonna restart my 5 minutes.
You don't have to agree with our opinion. We're three assholes who like kind of chatting about movies. We're not always gonna be right.
Exactly.
But you know, the opinion is an opinion.
Now, my other thing is when we come up with an opinion and we're saying that this movie sucks, we'll give you reasons as to why. And we gave you reasons as to why that movie was crap. Now, when we look at something like the Oscars, that's a bunch of people's opinion. That's great. You know, I don't care. If you want an award, go ahead, make an award, give it to yourself. I don't give a crap. Now, when there's nominations for specific things, I'll kind of look at it and be like, okay, I could see why they won that. Das Boot was nominated. You know what happened? They were nominated. That means they didn't win shit. So... back to my point, is there are many films that were put in and done that. Now, what do the Oscars mean? Jack nothing, really. Do they get money for it? Probably. I don't give a rat's ass. I haven't watched the Oscars in probably 15 years when a bunch of movies that were way better than those that won lost because of the fact that they were passing out prizes to people who did not necessarily deserve it. And now we have the Oscars coming out this year, and there's a big old scandal because, there's not a black person nominated. If they didn't do a good job, they didn't do a good job. That's simply what it comes down to.
Well, this is...
Now, hold on.
I do have one thing.
One more thing I just want to point out. People don't really like the Oscars, and those are celebrities. Go talk to Spike Lee. He hates the Oscars. Go talk to Leonardo DiCaprio. That dude sucks at the Oscars. So, my final point is make your own opinion your own opinion. If you don't like what we have to say, give us reasons as to why. Tell us the acting was better than you think. Or give us a reason as to what specific scene is what you think should be giving a better rating.
And if you want to another example of why we think award shows suck, look at who won the first Heavy Metal Grammy. It wasn't Metallica, Megadeth, or any other heavy metal band of that era. It was Jethro fucking Tull, which, by the way, I actually like. They don't come close to heavy metal. They couldn't hold Ozzy Osbourne's jockstrap.
I agree. I'm a big Tull fan, and not metal. It's not metal.
No.
The guy wears tights.
Yeah, and it's the same reason that people don't like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. If you ever look up the list of people not in the Hall of Fame, you'd probably never stop throwing up.
Yeah. Oh, and one more thing. If I hear one more person...
We're not like film historians. You know what I mean? None of us went to school to study, you know, film. So it's not
our
like
school was thousands of movies.
That went into making every film. You know, we do a semi-reasonable effort to kind of look up a couple of little fun facts if we don't know them just kind of off the top of our head.
We're a bunch of movie geeks. That's pretty much... We love movies,
yeah,
you know?
We're three dudes who collectively seen 20,000 movies.
Yeah, I'm more than that, dude. I'm more than that on my own.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean,
yeah,
we grew up, so we're actually running a little late, but we grew up in the 80s, which was the perfect time for theater, for rental stores. Our afternoons and our Fridays through Sunday was at the movie stores going, oh, I haven't seen that one. And that's one of the reasons why I've learned, okay, not all trauma movies are actually entertaining.
And we knew the movie guy that owned the store or was the son of the people that owned the store that's like, hey. You want to see something weird? Here you go.
Yeah, so, like the thing, it's kind of like the black curtain, except it was under the counter, which you had to be nice to the guy to get access to.
Yeah, and right. I mean, some of them were even crackheads. Literally, no joke, smoking crackheads. I'm not lying. It's true. But, you know, they would stay up for hours and watch a bunch of crappy movies, you know? So, you know, you got to walk through a lot of shit to find the gold.
The problem is I'm not a crackhead. I've done the same thing and still do the same thing.
I don't smoke crack.
Yes,
I don't snort it either. I don't shoot. Okay,
I promise I don't do anything.
Topic, but that's really what I want to come down to is the fact that it's our opinion. You don't agree with us? That's cute. It comes down to
you know, rock, you know, just rock your opinion, you know, own it. And if you really legitimately have a reason why you think we're dumbasses or if you think the fat guy sucks, you know, blah, 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 actually tell us. Actually saying, hey, you guys suck doesn't help.
Or that a film won a bunch of Oscar nominations, so we're wrong?
I actually want to salute that guy because at least he gave us some information. He legitimately said, they had a bunch of nominations. That's why I think you're wrong. Hey, that's cool. I like that. I don't agree with your opinion, but I do appreciate the fact you're actually giving a lot more than the fat guy sucks or the curly-haired guy's an asshole.
Man, I've changed my opinion on movies over the years. You know what I mean? After just chatting with somebody, one of my favorite things in the world to do is just kind of argue my point on the movie. I was defending the new Star Wars movie to one of my friends the other day.
Which, by the way, if you want to know the genesis of Real Flix Reviews, it was literally us three. We have the same conversation when the camera's not on. So we figured, why not surprise everybody else with our highly opinionated asshole opinions and film it?
Yeah.
Hence the reason why we do Real Flix Reviews. Yeah. And our opinion is the greatest show on the internet.
Yeah, you gotta have an opinion.
If you don't, you're an asshole. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for watching Real Flix Reviews. I gave The Drunken Master, not the legend, the original 1978, a 5 out of 5. James gave it a 5 out of 5. Ryan gave it a 4.5 out of 5. Next week, we are going to do...
The Revenant?
The Revenant. It's the Leonardo DiCaprio movie. Then everybody's hoping this is the one he'll finally win the Oscar or whatever award he hasn't currently run.
Dude, I'm pushing for you, but even if you lose, I'm going to laugh.
Ha ha! And we're also going to finish off, right? So the last three. We're going to finish off Childhood's End. And as always, thank you for watching.
Goodbye.